Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Betsy Woodruff, Buckley Fellow at National Review, making her Three Martini Lunch debut today as the Republican National Convention officially begins after a day-long delay. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Betsy, no pressure. Your first time, just as the biggest event of the year for the Republican Party gets going today.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, let's start with the good martini. And this is something that usually, for the most part, isn't something that gets a lot of national media attention and isn't even discussed as a result of all the coverage on the horse race. But it's very important to the base of the party, and that is the party platform that comes out of the convention. And as this process has wrapped up, most people seem very happy with it, from cultural conservatives like Phyllis Schlafly to those who are very pro-Second Amendment. From the most part, with obviously a few exceptions here and there, people think this is a pretty strong document that President Reagan a generation or so ago would have said was bold colors, not pale pastels. So that's got to be a good thing heading into this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also interesting that the language about reducing the EPA's regulatory power has generated as much interest as it did. I think if anything, that shows that the GOP's messaging is working a lot better than we give them credit for.
What do you think this will mean for the entire convention? Does this mean that there's going to be less division between maybe some people who are there who weren't necessarily enamored with Mitt Romney or didn't think that the base was motivated, although that was probably dealt with to some extent with the Paul Ryan selection? How much does this actually matter in terms of turnout?
I think it's really important. Yeah, I think the Romney nomination definitely, there was a sense that it was, a movement towards the center of the Republican Party. And I think the platform's definitely going to help as far as base excitement. So it's good news.
And we'll see what happens heading forward here. On to the bad martini now. And we had a little bit of fun with the media yesterday, pointing out that they're only going to spend, at least the networks, that is, about an hour on each convention, which essentially boils down to the nominees' speeches. Romney this Thursday, Obama next Thursday, which makes you wonder why they're doing all their newscasts from down there this week and putting that much of an investment into 1 hour of programming, as it turns out. But now they've got a new thing they're in love with here, Betsy, and that's Hurricane Isaac as it barrels towards the Gulf Coast. Last week, a lot of them seemed to be rubbing their hands with glee that this could actually disrupt the convention, which it did at least for Monday. We'll see what impact it has on the Gulf Coast and whether that changes the schedule later in the week. But now it's like they're spending far more time on what may happen on the Gulf Coast with a Category 1, possibly Category 2 hurricane than they are on what Ann Romney might say, Chris Christie might say tonight, and then, of course, Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney later in the week. Is this just a way of them changing the subject, or is this just the way the media always is on a hurricane, do you think?
I think it's probably a combination. There's definitely a tone of schadenfreude in the way that they've treated the hurricane. And also, I haven't seen that much coverage of the fact that in Tampa, the weather hasn't been that crazy. I mean, yesterday it rained for a while, but it certainly wasn't anything, that blew people away. So, I think it's possible that the media is just more interested in focusing on, what's going on the rest of the Gulf Coast. Then, yeah, exactly.
When it comes to the coverage of this hurricane, a couple people, surprisingly, I'm sure to many people on MSNBC, Chuck Todd and Andrea Mitchell in particular, have said that with a hurricane headed towards the Gulf Coast, all minds turn to George W. Bush and Katrina from 7 years ago. How's that playing down there?
Right. Well, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a chance for Democrats to bring up a former Republican president who might not have been vindicated by history to the extent the Republican Party would have liked him to. And that definitely helps with their messaging.
Well, one name that was obviously very connected to hurricanes in the past, since he used to be the governor of Florida, at least for one term, Charlie Crist. All Republicans, of course, love him. He was elected in 2006, basically with the blessing of Jeb Bush. He decided to give that seat up rather than run for re-election in 2010. He decided to seek an open Senate seat. He was challenged by a little-known Marco Rubio, who was way back in the polls, and then a few months before primary day, it was clear that Rubio had surged to the front. Crist wasn't going to catch him. Crist drops out of the Republican primary, then runs as an independent, changes his positions quite a few times. Ultimately, in a three-way race, Rubio wins by 20 points. Now Charlie Crist is the special former Republican speaker scheduled next week at the Democratic National Convention. And this is a crazy martini, Betsy, but I think it could actually end up being good for Republicans, because the only state where Charlie Crist might make a difference is Florida, and they don't like him there at all.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the Democrats think they're accomplishing by having him come speak at their convention. I mean, is there anybody that really likes this guy? I think he's one of the least appealing characters. I mean, definitely in Florida politics. It's just really weird.
There had been rumors a couple months ago, maybe even less than that, that John Huntsman might be that crossover since he had served in the Obama administration. And there was a brief flurry on Twitter about that, only to find out that not only was he not the Republican speaker, but nobody really would have cared if he had been. But now we got Charlie Crist going. So I guess after Republicans landed Zell Miller and Joe Lieberman the last couple conventions and Arthur Davis this year, this is the Democrats' attempt to bring in the other party. And I'm not quite sure it's going to have the same impact.
You kind of have to feel bad that that's the best they can do as far as Republican turncoats.
Well, fortunately for us, there aren't that many of them. So unless they were going to grab Arlen Specter, who probably wouldn't have made the greatest convention speaker, probably wasn't going to be anybody better than Charlie Crist for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Betsy, finally some action there on the floor headed for later today. Have fun with that, and we'll talk to you guys later in the week. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Betsy Woodruff of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.